from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's a Pop Song 89, the lead track from R.E.M.'s 1989 album Green, which was mostly recorded at Ardent Studios in Memphis. REM drummer Bill Berry, 66 years old today.
So a giant-ass tree fell in your yard there in Minnesota. Did I see that on social media? Did you have storms, or what happened?
It's like an outtake from Twisters back here, yeah. So we actually had a big storm like a week ago, and it knocked down a limb in the front yard of one of our next door neighbors, and it knocked down a limb, on trees on both sides of us. And I think what happened is one of those trees got weakened by that storm. So a week later, on a totally non-stormy day, one of those trees just fell over, like at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's like a huge 100-year-old oak tree. Wow. And the tree is in our neighbor's yard, but it tipped over almost entirely into our yard. Somehow it was angled so it didn't touch the house, it didn't touch the deck, it barely touched the garage. We kind of wish it flattened the garage, because the garage is like original to the house, and the house is more than 100 years old, and so we could sort of use a new garage, and the insurance paying for that would have been cool, but it didn't really mess up the garage. It did flatten the raised beds that were built in our backyard, garden beds, and it probably may have destroyed a hammock. It's unclear. The hammock's buried under the tree.
So who's responsible for this, Chris? What happens in cleaning up this tree?
So, I mean, it's our neighbor's tree. And so, like, you know, the tree is in their yard. And so it's their responsible. So, but it's been a thing because it's so big. And the tree people had to, like, get a permit for a crane or something. So it's taken a few days. But the tree people, they actually came yesterday and put signs up and down the street to make it a tow-away zone. And so they're coming this afternoon, and I don't know whether they'll do it all in one day. It seems too much to be handled in one day.
But it's interesting, though, because it was in their yard, they're responsible for paying for the tree to be cut up and hauled away, even though it's now in your yard. But it's interesting, if it had flattened your garage, would it have been their insurance that paid for it, or your insurance that paid for it?
It's a good question. I'm glad I don't have to. I can't give you a definitive answer to that. I did not have to go down that road, and so I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. None of that came into play.
You're going to have to put in a claim for the hammock. You're going to have
to. We are going to have, I mean, one thing that did happen, so it knocked out our power, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And I got to say, the power people here were, like, on the ball. Like,
oh, no.
It happened the day we were leaving for Chicago. So, like, we like, woke up and saw the big tree in our backyard and then, like, got in the van and drove to Chicago. And the power people were out that day and rehooked power to our house that day. But it's a temporary thing, because the one thing that it did damage is something called a mast or whatever that's part of the electrical system. and it knocked the mast off of the house. So we do have to get an electrician to come and redo the mast. And then the energy people have to come back out before it will be a permanent fix. But they got power. No one was at the house, but they got power back up like that day.
Well, that's depressing to hear. Although it was a lone event, it was not on a stormy day.
It wasn't like the whole city. Right. Yeah, that's right. It wasn't like a big excuse. Storm. Yeah, it was literally just us.
I'm sticking to that. So I dimly recall that one of the things that would come in play in terms of whose responsibility would it be for your garage is if, for example, that was a dead tree. And they should have known it was weak and coming down, then it would be their responsibility. If not, it might be your responsibility. I even had someone once send me a note about a tree on my property, basically for that reason. Hey, right. You know this, whatever else. But I'm glad you don't have to get into that. But
I'm glad. Apparently, it's going to get cleaned up. But of course, we're leaving town again, on Friday night. So I was worried that we're still going to have a tree in our backyard, but it looks like maybe we won't.
So you're going to be traveling. It doesn't feel like you're going to take in a lot of Olympics because you will be off traveling the world. Would you ordinarily mark, this is when the U.S. is playing basketball, I want to watch it, or this is when Spain, I want to watch it?
Yeah, no. In the absence of other conflicts, right, in the absence of other conflicts and with availability of the media, yes, I would make a point to try to watch all of that. But I doubt I'll be doing that with this one.
Should Jason Tatum be offended that he didn't get off the bench in the most recent?
I don't think so. I mean, it is a thing where he just played a lot of basketball very recently. And it is a 40-minute game, and you got 12 really good players, and I do think it's better. I do think there's more cohesiveness over the course of the 40 minutes if you're not trying to squeeze too many players into it. I think if you're trying to win in the NBA playoff game, you're not playing a 12-man rotation or whatever on a 48-minute game, and this is a 40. And so, should Tatum have been the guy or someone else have been the guy? That's a legitimate question. But the idea of we got to shrink this down, which means some really good players are not going to play, I think you sort of have to go about it that way.
It's funny how politics works, though. There's a piece at the, you know it. It's good. LeBron would have played no matter what. Right. He was playing bad. And so there's a piece at The Athletic, which I haven't read yet, to be honest. But the headline is, Jason Tatum's Olympics benching is latest detour on quest to become face of NBA. Now, I have no idea if that's his quest or not, but it does put in context. I mean, we talked about this the other day when we were deciding who you would want to have if you were drafting players. Whatever he is, he's just not what KD was at his zenith or what Steph was. He's just not, right?
No, he's not. I don't know if he's better than LeBron right now, honestly. And that's more commentary on LeBron than on Jason Tatum. LeBron is still awesome now. Kevin Durant, so awesome now. Jason Tatum more likely to play in a basketball game for you on a random night over 82 games. But if you tell me we're playing a game tonight and they're both healthy and you're going to get the best Jason Tatum game or the best Kevin Durant game, I'm taking the best Kevin Durant game right now.
Yeah, no question.
But I don't think my understanding is that he's out of the rotation formally. It was a game to game. Somebody's going to have to step back. And this game, it was him. The next game, it'll be somebody else, right? I think that's a defensible way to approach it.
All right. So over at ESPN, they like doing these anonymous executive questionnaires. And they did one about the rookies. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to ask you the questions that they ask the executives. Some of them are a little repetitive. One, and you can give your answer, predict what they said, and because some of these are either or, and then tell me your answer. Who will have the better NBA career, Risa, Shea, or Saar?
I think they said Risa, Shea.
They did 15-5.
I haven't seen enough to feel strongly about it, but I think Risa, Shea is a safer bet because I think he's a little bit further along and a 6'9 guy who can run the floor and take shots. It's sort of easy to be at least a decent rotation player if you're that guy. Whereas Saar, I think the range is wider in both directions, but the downside is deeper too,
Right. Which rookie will prove to be the draft's best pick? Who did they say, and what's your answer? That's a weird question, because what is
it? It is a weird question. You got to think about, like value relative to pick, right?
Right.
I think Reed Sheppard and Donovan Klingon come to mind for me. The idea that Detroit and Charlotte did what they did, I think it's going to look bad for them down the line. That not only did they not take Klingon themselves, but they wouldn't trade with the Grizzlies or whoever else either. I think Klingon and Sheppard, I feel best about relative to their draft positions, maybe. I'm going to say they said Sheppard, because Sheppard seemed like...
You could be an NBA executive, Chris. Reed Sheppard 1 and Donovan Klingon 2. Is Donovan Klingon, by the way, Reed Sheppard got 7 votes. Donovan Klingon got 3. The amazing thing was how many players got votes, though. Stephon Castle 2, Dalton Connect 2, Bub Carrington 2, Nikola Topic 1, Rob Dillingham 1, and Risa Shea 1. Zach Edey did not get any. Are Klingon and Edey going to be the way that some athletes are, you know, Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning, like they're linked by draft and similarities of position? I don't think will they be linked?
I think they may be. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I guess they might be linked, but from a Memphis perspective, there can't be fault because we really believe that because he's tried to go get Donovan Klingon, right?
No, that's right. I mean, if they would be more linked if someone like Klingon was expected to be taken ahead of Edey, and he was taken ahead of Edey. So if the Grizzlies or someone else had taken Edey with Klingon on the board,
right,
you know, the way that the Mavericks took or the Hawks took Trae Young with Luka, or, you know, that kind of situation where you have a way to get one or the other and you choose the one, that's not really what happened here. But the fact that the Grizzlies apparently, reportedly, tried to move up for Klingon and couldn't and then got Edey afterward, I think that will link them in the minds of Grizzlies fans a little bit, more than the general NBA populace.
Yeah, I do think, it's pretty clear. Both teams would have taken Klingon at Edey. Here's a quote. I thought Klingon was a steal on draft night at 7, but the things he did defensively in summer league were unreal with the impact he made. Now they have him shooting trail on pick and pop threes. If he starts making those consistently, that's a game changer, blah, blah, blah. We don't think he's going to do that. Okay, which pick was the draft's biggest reach?
That's sort of hard off the top of your head without like looking at it.
Yeah, but you sort of answered that.
I'll go to what I said with Holland and Tijon Salon.
Yep.
I think those are the guys that come up. And I like Holland, but I mean, for that team at that pick, I thought that was surprising, and the Salon guy. And so I'd say those two come to mind immediately.
You're nailing them, Chris. It's Ron Holland wins with 4 votes. A.J. Johnson, who was that mysterious pick of the Bucks, got 4 as well. And then Salon was next with 3. Zach Edey did get 2 votes there as the biggest reach. Biggest steal, which will turn out to be the biggest steal. Again, this is tough because you don't have the whole order in front of you.
I mean, the fact that this is being asked right on the heels of Summer League sort of makes you think of, like, who was good in Summer League relative to their draft position. I think Khalil Ware was very good in Summer League relative to where he was picked. I mean, there are probably people who said Dalton Connect, but I think there's probably a range of opinion on that. Ware sort of comes to mind immediately.
Ware was 2nd. Bub Carrington was, again, good Summer League. He had a really good Summer League. He was 1st with 5 votes. Khalil Ware was 3. Cam Spencer got a vote with 1. So there you go. Rookie of the Year pick.
I think Sheppard is going to be the pick by the voters. Mm-hmm. I think Edey should be up there because, like I've been saying, I think Edey is the one rookie most likely to be in the starting lineup. Not only will he be in the starting lineup of a team, he will be in the starting lineup of a good team. And so I think Edey should be in the mix there.
Reed Sheppard got the most votes with 7, and Zach Edey, sure enough, this is where he pops up with 4. Here's a quote. I was at the Utah Summer League and was so impressed by how much Edey's game translates. One voter said, he's in incredible shape and is going to be such a weapon in pick and roll with NBA spacing with the way he catches and finishes. He's way more athletic than people realize, and his sheer will is going to get him a bunch of 20 plus 10 outings before New Year's. Do you think that's right? Do you think he's going to get 20, 10 outings before New Year's?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're talking about individual games. He's not going to be averaging that, but is he going to have, like, multiple 2010 games for New Year's? Yeah, I think he will. Dude's just going to, I mean, stats are going to come to him easily. He's just going to be standing there, you know, getting rebounds and getting, like, putbacks and getting, like, catching dunk without your toes leaving the floor. So, yeah.
All right. And I think we're wrapping up here. Was the league's first two-day draft a success?
Yeah, I think they. I would assume that the general manager said yes. And I say yes, too. I mean, the thing about this is that the draft is two different things. It's the process by which teams select players, and it is a television show depicting the process by which teams select players. I think on the first question, it is absolutely the right. It was absolutely the right thing to do. It was absolutely an improvement. On the second part, I know people didn't think the second round TV show was good. I didn't watch it, so I don't care.
Right.
Like I just watched the picks pop up on Twitter. You know.
And it's better way of picking players. Why? You just have more time to think about it. It's a little more orderly.
The only reason it was so compressed before was to squeeze it into a TV show. Otherwise, it makes no sense to say you got 2 minutes to like make this decision about your basketball team and the future of this person, you know?
Right. Yeah, I watched some of the second show, too. Cam Spencer, by the way. Steal? Is he going to be a steal?
Who knows? He's good in college and good in summer league, and we'll see from there. It's hard to say. He's a really good basketball player. But, good basketball players, as you move up levels, good basketball players start to drift away. And so the question is, is there going to be a level at which he sort of drifts away and that it doesn't translate? And we don't know that yet. It could go either way.
Yeah, speaking of which, Jimmer Fredette, of course, is on the 3-3-3-on-3
right.
Olympic team and is a perfect example. Now, there was a piece on him I was reading today where the way he has made sense of his career in his own mind, evidentially he's a venture capitalist now. Like he's an investor in addition to playing 3-on-3 basketball. Seems like he's done okay. But he says, I was before my time. You know, I was basically shooting from half court before it was cool, and I would have had a better career had I come along 10 years, 15 years later.
Maybe. I just think he was such a negative. He was going to be such a total negative on defense. And as good of a shooter as he was, I don't think he was going to transmit to being an on-the-ball player. And so, I think there's a hard cap on a guy like him, no matter how good of a shooter you are.
Yeah.
He's not Steph Curry. He's smaller than Steph Curry. He's worse defensively than Steph Curry. He's not as good with the ball as Steph Curry. You know, I don't know.
Good luck with the tree, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
Chris Harrington, he's got a giant-ass tree in his backyard.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.